This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. It was a no-knock warrant involved that led to the police killing of Breonna Taylor in Louisville, adding to the nationwide protest against deadly police violence. So the city of Louisville vowed to end that practice. And now the city of Cincinnati may do the same. Councilmember Chris Silbach has introduced a motion to that effect. Police Chief Elliot Isaac and Fraternal Order of Police President Dan Hills have each said they support limiting no-knock warrants, though not an all-out ban. So let's talk about this now with Cincinnati City Councilman Chris Silbach. He joins us live via Zoom. Councilman, welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having me.
I want to make sure that I characterize this correctly for our listeners and frankly for myself, because I was confused by some tweets I saw yesterday from Vice Mayor Christopher Smitherman about what this legislation, if I should even call it legislation, it's a motion. What exactly are you specifically doing in your role as a member of council?
Yeah, so we started working on this a couple months ago, and it was clear in the first week that we cannot draft an ordinance, which is a law, that bans no-knock warrants. We don't have that jurisdiction. But what we can do is pass a motion, which is policy direction, calling on the city administration, the city manager, to ban no-knock warrants. So we knew 2 months ago we couldn't draft an ordinance, and the vice mayor also knew that we weren't drafting an ordinance, that we had introduced a motion. So it's very confusing why he tweeted what he did and why he thought he needed to get an additional legal opinion, knowing that we were only introducing a motion. But that's what we're doing.
So Christopher Smitherman did tweet out images of a legal department review of this proposal and shared images of that. You did respond that that what you just told us basically that your legislation is a motion calling on the city manager to ban no-knock warrants. Is such a motion, if approved, is that binding for the city manager to act on it?
No, it's policy direction. So it's telling the city manager the opinion of city council, that city council wants her to ban no-knock warrants, but it is not binding.
Okay, and give us the background on your motivation for this. I mean, we know the Breonna Taylor case, but what you think its role here would do?
Sure. So as you know, I'm from Louisville. I was just there yesterday for a funeral, and so I was pretty intimately involved in the Breonna Taylor case from the very moment. And I think it is important to just a little bit of what happened. You know, Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend had done nothing wrong. They had committed no crime. They had done no illegal behavior. They were watching a movie in bed when police officers after midnight actually did knock. They actually did knock, and they didn't identify themselves, but they just were knocking on their door. Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend were saying, you know, what's going on? And like most people, you have a gun in your bedside to protect your family. These police officers who did not identify themselves tore down the door, rushed towards their bedroom. And I think most people's response would be, I need to protect my family. So Breonna Taylor's boyfriend shot one shot, which hit one officer in the leg. And they responded with something like 16 shots, killing Breonna Taylor. So both the officer and Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend and the neighbors were all put in harm's way because the police did not identify themselves through this no-knock warrant. And so my motivation is to protect citizens, it's to protect police officers, and it's to protect unexpected victims. In 2014 in Georgia, through a no-knock warrant, a flashbang grenade was landed in an infant's crib, and it led to that infant being put in a medically induced coma. So there's all kinds of people that are at risk through these no-knock warrants that we just don't need them. So that's my motivation.
Here's how USA Today defines no-knock warrant: search warrants that authorize law enforcement to enter a private premise without announcing their presence. Such warrants are issued when a judge agrees that announcing law enforcement's presence may allow suspects to destroy potential evidence or endanger police safety. And as to the Louisville case, USA Today reported that the Louisville Metro Police Department suspected that Taylor was receiving packages on behalf of her ex-boyfriend, Jamarcus Glover, who police suspected of drug trafficking. That is according to court documents cited by USA Today.
But there was no evidence of that. Yeah, there was no evidence. And she indeed was not.
And so this was a report from back in June, and further evidence has emerged since then. And Breonna Taylor, George Floyd in Minneapolis, these names have become quite common as America discusses law enforcement and racial injustice. And you're bringing this legislation inspired by an event in Louisville to Cincinnati. What else do you see as necessary in reevaluating police and their role in our community here?
Sure. I mean, as you know, so we have our budget hearings in June every year. And as we were having our budget hearings is when all of the protest and unrest was happening around George Floyd. And so we had hundreds, maybe thousands of people come testify, calling on us to make changes in the way we police. And so my response to that is that we do need to do things different. And one of the things that I think we need to do different is to ban no-knock warrants because they put civilians and police officers in harm's way. We need to do other things, and we're exploring ways to hire more social workers to, where it makes sense, transfer police dollars to non-police officers. I was talking to a police officer a couple weeks ago who's in the East Side, and he said that, you know, he got a call. Someone called 911 because their neighbor was mowing grass and they thought she looked tired. We don't need an armed police officer responding to something like that. So where it makes sense, we are going to reallocate funds from the police to other services. And this is one of those ways that I'm responding to the call for change, which is to call for the ban of no-knock warrants.
We're talking with Cincinnati City Councilmember Chris Silbach. Sharon Coolidge at the Cincinnati Inquirer had reported ahead of this interview, this segment, Cincinnati Police Lieutenant Steve Saunders said no-knock warrants are used sparingly and the process to get one is rigorous. He explained officers in an investigation develop probable cause, then discuss the matter with the supervisor. If the supervisor agrees, it then goes to a Hamilton County judge for approval. I want to note that we did speak with Hamilton County Municipal Judge Tyrone Yates. We will have that interview coming up on the other side of this conversation with Councilmember Silbach. So, Councilman, knowing that these are used sparingly, why ban them outright?
Correct. And we do a better job than Louisville did. We do not use no-knock warrants in cases of drug involvement. But what I think is that they don't make sense anytime because, for instance, in 2013, a grand jury in Texas refused to indict a resident who killed an officer during a no-knock raid, citing the inability for him to have distinguished between a robbery and the officers breaching his door. So an officer was killed and the person was not indicted because a jury said he was unable to distinguish between a robber and a police officer. So these are putting our officers in as much risk as the civilians. And so, you know, the reason I think they should be banned is because I don't think that we should be putting our officers or the people that they are trying to attempt to see in harm's way. And we know that two states already banned these outright. Louisville was the first city, and they did it unanimously. All of the Democrats, Republicans, and Independents banned it. It's just an outdated practice that puts people at risk and leads to people being killed, civilians, police officers, a baby who was put in a medically induced coma. It's just not a good practice.
We should note that there is legislation named for Breonna Taylor being filed in Frankfort, and the representative behind that was arrested recently during the protest after it was determined that the police officers involved in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor would not be indicted for her death. And also should note that U.S. Senator Rand Paul, the Kentucky Republican, is seeking to push a bill that he's called Justice for Breonna Taylor. And that legislation would apparently end no-knock warrants across the country, banning no-knock warrants in federal drug cases and barring local and state law enforcement agencies who get federal funding from using no-knock warrants. Are you familiar, Chris, with that legislation that the U.S. Senator Rand Paul is pushing?
I am. And, you know, it's interesting. As most people know, Rand Paul is a conservative Republican from Kentucky. So I don't think that this legislation is bipartisan, or I don't think it is partisan. It should be bipartisan because these don't make sense. When you look at the facts, when you look at the statistics and the people who have been harmed by these outdated practices, I think most people would agree that they should be banned because they put both civilians and police officers and unattended victims. I mean, the police officers in Louisville fired 16 shots. One went through a neighbor's wall, so it could have killed a neighbor who had no involvement in this. And so that's why I've introduced this legislation. I think it makes sense. And as you said at the beginning of this, all we're doing is calling on our city manager to ban the no-knock warrants. We don't have the jurisdiction to ban them outright, but it puts council on the record of saying, we don't think these tactics should be used.
Well, we'll find out formally where council stands soon. What is the timeline for this piece of legislation, this motion you've got, Chris?
Well, it was supposed to be heard and voted on Monday, and then the final vote should have been today. We found out from the clerk's office last Friday that the vice mayor, Christopher Smitherman, had pulled the legislation without any warning or meaning behind why he'd done that. So it really is up to him. His next committee meeting is 2 weeks from this past Monday. So we expect it, and we hope, the 26th, that that's when it will have a hearing, have a vote, and then pass full council on the 28th, October 28th. So that's what we're hoping. But because the vice mayor is the chair of the Law and Public Safety Committee, he does control the agenda. And so he could pull it for no reason again, but we're hopeful he doesn't.
Councilman, what are you hearing from fellow members of council? Does it seem like this has the support that it would need?
Yes, I do think we'll have the support to get this passed. We've overwhelmingly heard from hundreds, probably over 1,000 people encouraging us to do this. You know, people are fired up right now. They want police reform. They want change. And, you know, change doesn't happen fast in government. We all know that. People wanted change back in June, but it's October and I'm proposing a change. And so we've seen lots of people reach out to us saying to support this, that this will be a positive change in how we police, that will result in fewer deaths of civilians and police officers. So, yes, I do believe I'll have the support.
We'll note again, Councilman, from Sharon Coolidge's reporting at the Cincinnati Inquirer, Cincinnati Police Lieutenant Steve Saunders saying basically these no-knock warrants are used very sparingly. The process to get one is rigorous. We'll hear on the other side of this interview after we say goodbye to you from Judge Tyrone Yates, who basically says the same thing. And it was also noted that Police Chief Elliot Isaac and FOP President Dan Hills are opposed to banning these outright. So again, your motion is a policy directive for the city manager to move forward. What type of conversations can you anticipate on the other side of approving your motion at the administrative level?
Sure. So I talked to both the assistant, Paul Newdegate, and our city manager. It is true that the police department wishes that we would not ban no-knock warrants. Ultimately, the call is the city manager, and she said that, you know, she will take the advice of council and talk to the police chief. I told her, you know, city manager, that the city council is the legislative body governing our city. And if the majority of us strongly feel that these should be banned, then I hope that that carries some weight. And she agreed that it would. So, you know, I think that she will do the right thing. And I think that she will look at the trends of what's happening in our country and know that we need change in how we police, and that this is a good change that will put people that could be at risk, make them more safe. So I'm hopeful that she will do the right thing at the direction of council.
We recently had FOP President Dan Hills on this program with your colleague on council, Greg Landsman. I should confess that particular segment was not my finest hour, and not a very well conducted conversation. Dan Hills,
I don't think that's your fault.
Well, I appreciate that. It was very challenging to have a conversation with Dan Hills. And so I'm wondering if you've had any trouble, or if he's reached out to you, if you've talked to him about this at all directly.
No, Dan Hills has never even introduced himself to me. I find him to be completely unreasonable. I don't respond to what he has to say because it is so far-fetched, and all he is interested is division. And so I don't respond to Dan Hills. I think he's as bad as Donald Trump, and is an incredibly divisive figure in our local government.
We did reach out to Dan Hills for comment. He let us know that he does not support an outright ban, reinforcing that previously reported comment. Councilman Chris Silbach, hope to talk to you again. We'll continue to monitor this situation. It looks like closer to the end of the month, we will see some action on this. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Yep, thanks for having me, Michael.
You got it. Up next, I talk with a local judge about no-knock warrants and how frequently he deals with requests for them. And then later, the search for a solution as a local police shooting range irritates neighbors. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our discussion on no-knock warrants as the Cincinnati City Council weighs a policy directive that would suggest that the city manager enact a ban on this practice. I spoke earlier with Hamilton County Municipal Court Judge Tyrone Yates about this issue. Here is our recorded conversation. Judge Yates, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me on this edition.
So I'm curious about how a police officer goes about obtaining what we know as a no-knock warrant.
Well, it's the most complicated, difficult, and sensitive kind of warrant that we issue as judges. What the officer does is he brings before each of us who reviews a warrant affidavit and blank search warrant with the same information largely contained in the affidavit. The affidavit must contain all of the information necessary related to establish probable cause to issue the warrant. A no-knock warrant will only be issued in the most exigent of circumstances. In the typical case in Hamilton County, a no-knock warrant may be issued where a no-knock issue a warrant will be issued where the potential target or occupant of a location where there is a potential for immediate danger or weapons that would be associated with entering that would pose harm to the officers who would be applying for the no-knock warrant. And we take an additional step that whenever an application for a no-knock warrant is sought, in each case, either the judge or the officer is ordered by the judge to record the conversation so that there is no future potential for miscommunication or misunderstanding related to the questions that the judge might ask the officer related to the application for the search warrant.
You're talking about recording the conversation, Judge, between, for example, you and a police officer seeking a no-knock warrant.
That's exactly correct. That's the only time typically when a recording is made for a search warrant application.
When you talk, Judge, about whether a target or an occupant of a place poses harm, what are the circumstances that you're considering to gauge that?
Well, one of the things that you look for is the seriousness of the offense involved. For example, I would think that any judge would decline a no-knock warrant where the target or the citizen or the potential defendant who's involved, where it's something very, very minor. It would only be in a major case set of circumstances where there would be the potential for imminent harm to someone inside or to the officers outside, so that in the typical case, a no-knock warrant will be issued typically in the nighttime to provide the highest level of potential surprise or unawareness to the person inside that the officers were about to enter a home or another kind of dwelling based upon the probable cause application asserted in the four corners of the written affidavit for the search warrant.
And we're talking with Hamilton County Municipal Court Judge Tyrone Yates about no-knock warrants. Judge Yates, how often do you see these in Hamilton County? Have they come through your courtroom?
Yes, they have. And they have come through my courtroom probably, this is just a guess because I don't keep track, But I would say that I've issued only 3 no-knock search warrants in 10 and a half years. I want to repeat that. I've only seen 3 no-knock warrants, even as applications, in 10 and a half years as a judge. They are that rare. However, nationally, I've looked up some of the data on this, that in 1970, across the United States, no-knock warrants were issued about 1,500 times across the continental United States. Now, in these times, you see about 45,000 no-knock warrants across the United States. So you can see that somewhere that they are really, really on the rise. But we don't see them frequently in Hamilton County.
Well, from your purview, please go ahead, Judge. I'm sorry.
We don't see them because judges will only issue them on the narrowest of terms, and because I think that officers don't seek them because they understand that in the typical case, the kind of danger that they and the persons inside can be in when they're used. So they're extremely, extremely rare in my experience.
And from your purview, Judge, when you talk about this increase from 1,500 no-knock warrants issued nationally back in 1970 to 45,000 now, what do you see as the reason for that?
My impression would be is that there's a greater nexus between offenses committed and the use of weapons associated with offenses. And number two, my impression would be is that in some jurisdictions, there are probably a greater familiarity. There's an old saw that goes, familiarity breeds contempt. It's possible that the nation has gotten lax about paying attention to the potential dangers of errors and mistakes associated with the issuance of no-knock warrants.
Hamilton County Municipal Court Judge Tyrone Yates, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate the time you gave us.
So thank you so much, and continue your great work under the First Amendment.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.